countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
Now, as the war rages in Ukraine and the impact on fuel, fertilizer and feed prices continue here, farmers are looking at many alternatives to stave off the threat of a fodder shortage later in the year. That includes growing new crops for the very first time. Like Jerome O'Connor, who's a young Limerick dairy farmer who has no experience in growing tillage crops, but he's decided to grow 20 acres of barley to make straw and silage. And he's hoping that this will give him some peace of mind, at least for the coming winter. Now, his friend Richie Lowe knows more about tillage, and so he's giving Jerome a handout. Hannah Quinn Mulligan went to Jerome's farm, where he walked the field with her and described his plans.
We're just in a field here, 20 acre field that I'm going to set for spring barley, and we've got heifers grazing it at the moment. And we're just in the distance, you can kind of see the hills there towards Shenagolan, and the other side then off towards Knockfearna. Then we're milking over 100 cows there now this year, so hopefully that'll go well for us.
You've never grown crops here before, it's your first time, but do you have any experience of it?
No, we haven't grown crops here now before, but I do have experience because I work for a friend of mine, and he's grown crops there for the last 20 years. So
essentially, it's very clever what you're doing, because one of the criticisms of the tillage incentive scheme that was announced by Minister McConlogue was that there isn't enough grain storage facilities in the country for all this increase in grain that we're hoping that we're going to grow. But you are going to grow essentially whole crop silage. We talk about combi crop silage as well, which might be barley and peas. You're just focusing on the barley. You're going to sow it as quickly as possible in the next couple of weeks because it's sowing season, and then in late August, September, you're planning on harvesting it and putting it into a big silage pit. Essentially, that's how you're going to store it. You're going to treat it as well to improve the quality of it. But I mean, you've never grown this before, so what are the challenges that you see?
Well, the main challenges would be the weather would be the main challenge, and then after that just the cost of growing it.
Because you're a fairly young farmer, and you've brought in another young farmer to help you, Richie Lowe. You're here, and your tillage, you do a lot of tillage, and you've been doing it over the years. I mean, has your phone been ringing off the hook looking for advice from, say, people like Jerome on growing their own crops?
Yeah, yes indeed, there has been a couple of people obviously concerned over this war and the grain crisis going forward. So people just maybe asking my experience of it and just the challenges around growing your crops and the cost maybe is, you know, is it going to be feasible? But nobody knows that the price of grain or even the getting of grain next year could be difficult. So
what's that going to cost Jerome in kind of seed and work and then the diesel costs?
Sure, look, I suppose it's very hard to pinpoint exactly what's going to cost. All you don't know until you turn over the ground what's
Jerome involved. Do you know yet how much it's going to cost you?
We're going on Chagas projections for this year, like, but they're kind of outdated with the price of fertilizer and things yet, but we'll be, I'd say, 600 plus a hectare, maybe rough figures.
And do you still think that's good value for money?
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a big upfront cost, but hopefully it'll be worth it in the end.
How much has the price of fertiliser gone up?
Last year, we would have given, I suppose,
400 a tonne.
400 a tonne, yeah, where it's in excess of 800 a tonne now.
Yeah.
So it is over double, yeah.
Your heifers are very keen, very fond of you as well. They've come up for a scratch. Richie, coming back to you, I mean, the scheme has come out, this 12 million euro crop scheme that's there, but it's a little bit too late is the criticism against it.
Look, people can't just flick a switch and turn over to tillage, you know, and I know the minister's come out and offered this money just like out of the blue, but when you're set up for dairy farming and new fencing and water troughs in place, it's very hard just to go in with a plough and start ploughing up good pasture. So it won't suit everybody, but anyone that can make use of it, definitely it'll definitely help the grain crisis situation.
People have pointed to technical difficulties at getting seed, I mean, even getting fertiliser. A lot of co-ops suspended the sales of fertiliser. I mean, has that been a problem getting a handle on resources?
Yeah, look, it has been difficult. Like, I ordered loads of fertiliser, and unfortunately they weren't full loads because he said, look, just everybody's just trying to ration it out.
The English Minister for Agriculture essentially came out, George Eustace, and said that there was enough slurry to replace all of the artificial fertilizer in the UK. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not saying that the Irish Minister of Agriculture has said that, but when people talk about slurry and its ability to replace fertilizer, you know, what do you think of that?
Yeah, look, slurry has a place, definitely. I'm not saying that we can't work without it. It definitely is a help, but I know in the UK they have a lot more access to digestate from these digesters, which would be a lot more powerful than your ordinary slurry. But it has its place, but still you need the artificial fertiliser to get a return. Like, it's going to cost money. You're going to have your fixed cost to grow grain. Like, you need to be getting the yield. You need to get the return back to make it pay. So like that, you have to put it in to get it back out. So that's the main thing. So I suppose maybe going forward, it's not going to get any better in the next, you don't know how long this is going to last, the crisis. So we need to be thinking ahead as well and getting our stocks in place.
Because, yeah, we import 2/3 of all our animal feed, about 5 million tonnes every year. How many tonnes are you hoping that this field is going to yield for Jerome?
So look, 60 tonne, 50 or 60 tonne, and like grain prices, we're not sure what way that'll be. But look, I'm confident that he'll make money out of it. Whatever, at least he'll have the security of having it in place. So, and he'll have the straw down side of things. And look, it's just going to be, expensive year for dairy farmers, definitely. Like,
and like, talking about the expense, I mean, we look at this field here and we talk about the price of agricultural diesel's gone up by 20%, but say in litres, do you know how many litres of diesel might be used on this field?
You could talk about 1,000 litres just to carry out the work alone. That'd be just the fuel aspect, but then machinery cost, like, you've all that to factor in as well, you know. So it's going to be hard to make it pay, but then if the grain prices are going to be expensive, you'd be hoping you'll have some return from it, like, you know.
Yeah. Jerome, 1,000 litres on this one field, about 60 tonnes of barley, is that going to help with your feed costs? Because you were saying that, you know, feed counts for about 1/3 of all your overall costs.
Yes, we'd be hoping that it would have a return on reduction on price for the overall year, but yeah, it's just the security really is probably a lot of it too now in this current climate.
Say for both of you now, because you are actually both involved in dairy farming on your home farms, when people go into the shop and they're picking up their litre of milk, do you think they realise the cost increases?
Probably not. Like, definitely the costings have significantly increased, as you say, the fuel and the feed, electricity, you know, it all comes into play to make a litre of milk. The costings have gone up, so you look, they have increased the milk price. It's great to see it going on the right direction, but it's definitely not where it should be at for the high inflation prices.
The cost increases that we're involved in, it's not been showed at the other side of the market.
I mean, what price per litre are you guys going to need to actually make a profit this year?
It's hard to know, as you said, to put a significant costing on producing a litre of milk. It's so volatile. It'll all depend on what way it'll pan out, but definitely milk should be well above 50 cent a litre anyway.
I wonder, are there many farmers thinking along the way of Jerome O'Connor there? And earlier you heard from his friend Richie Lowe, and we look forward to hearing how this venture actually works out for Jerome and if it helps him manage in the coming winter. And the €10 million tillage incentive scheme, which was unveiled on Thursday, the closing date for applications for that is the 16th of May, with all details at agfood.ie. Now, there's a first time for everything, and while in Limerick, Jerome is facing the challenge of being a first-time tillage farmer, in County Longford, writer John Connell is responsible for the very first time for his own yows as the lambing season starts. It is one thing to watch your father and mother, with all their experience, make decisions about animals. It's another to bear the weight of responsibility yourself for the very first time. In the middle of his own first lambing season, as the owner of a small flock, he took time to record his thoughts and share them with us here on Countrywide.
It is lambing season on our farm, my first as an owner. I have bought 12 sheep, 12 hoggets to be precise, from my parents, and together now these sheep and I are on a journey of life. Already 2 have lambed, and this week another went into labour. But the hogget, a good sturdy girl, had ringworm, or a version of it, where her passage did not fully dilate, and try as we might, she was not for moving. As she is my sheep, it is left to me to decide what to do. I call the local vet and wait. In waiting, all sorts of things enter my mind. I think of my life, of all the roads that have led me home, home to my Walden of the fields, home to be in touch with the Creator Spirit. And I remember, it's Robert Frost's birthday. Frost said once that his poems helped him to make sense of the world. He farmed, and it was the land that gave him the virtue of having something to talk, and I dare say write, about. In that I find a link, for I write about how I live and farm this land. It centres my life. I think of all this as I wait for the vet. I hear the jeep rustle into the yard, and he is here. We go to the sheep pen, and he examines the girl. I had fretted that it would be a section, a tough operation. But the young vet informs me as I hold the sheep that he can take the lamb, that there is hope. We work then. I hold the sheep, he gets ropes and birthing gel, and we set to the task. He is quiet then as he delves and probes, finding the head and feet, making sure he has the right legs. It is a task beyond my skills. In the silence, I think of the picture of St. Francis I have in the sheep shed, the woodblock painting that came all the way from Santa Fe, New Mexico, which I hold as a good luck charm to watch over the stock. So often in farming, God comes into this creation business, and I do not know why. Maybe there can be no life without him. It is a way for me, at least, to live. Finally then the young vet grunts, and I push back the ewe's wool to see a head, a pair of legs emerge, and with a good downward pull, the lamb comes out to moving life. "He's a monster. Fair bloody play to you," I say. He checks then for a second and pulls another strong lamb from the ewe. We set to clearing mucus and fluid from the lambs, and after we spill some water over their heads, the shock of life comes into them. "I wouldn't have got him," I admit. "I'm glad it's good news," the vet says, and we smile at each other. It is a good smile. As Frost says, we love the things we love for what they are. I'm finding that truism in the sheep shed this lambing season, come what may.
Writer and farmer John Connell in Longford, and later in the programme we'll be talking more about spring lamb from a food point of view.